Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know, the leaves are
what's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz and go Cubs, go. Go Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are going to win today. World Series champions, Chicago Cubs. And, you know, I took away some interesting things from the Cubs game. Obviously a fan and been a fan for, I've been going to games since 1965. And obviously to watch them win and finally get past the curse. Everything else, as you know, there's always things to pick on and always things that we like to, you know, rehash about, you know, the game and about what happens. And you know, I like to compare, you know, the manager of a baseball team, in this case, Joe Maddon, who, great manager, did a great job. But I think that, you know, I think that he puked a little bit in this series, and I think that he didn't use the plan that got him there. And, you know, many traders and investors do the same thing. And I think this is something that bears talking about, because if you are a fan, you know, if you're a baseball fan or a Cubs fan, you know, you look and you go, you know, did he use the proper discipline? Did he use the plan that he had constructed? And the answer is no, he did not use the plan. He did not use what got him there. And it almost cost him. Okay. And obviously, you know, one of the nice things about trading is that you have the opportunity to cut your losses early and you get a chance to come back. You get the new game. Obviously in baseball or in any sport, you don't get a chance. You know, you lose the game, the game's over. But I thought that, you know, if you look at it from a trading standpoint, I think he panicked, you know, in a few of the games, but especially in game seven, you know, last night, I thought his managing was very subpar to the game, like a bad trader, you know, letting emotion dictate what was going on versus the market footprint. I mean, if you watch the game, the market footprint was that the pitcher, Kyle Hendricks, was pitching great and shouldn't have been pulled out when he was pulled out. And I think that you had a business that almost failed because the trader, in this case the manager, did not follow the plan that was set forth in front of him. And, you know, and almost, obviously, the game got tied up, and it was because he, you know, had overused Aroldis Chapman instead of letting the game play itself. And again, this goes into trading and investing as like, you let things play the way they're supposed to play, and then you use the proper disciplines on what's supposed to happen. And if you do that, then you have a chance to be successful. And that chance almost slipped away because of the way that Joe followed the footprint. I think he tried to, you know, outguess the market. I think he tried to outguess the way things are supposed to be done. And it was almost very, very costly. Now, fortunately, obviously, I'm a fan, so I'm glad that they won. But, you know, as I look back, I can say, and it's not like I'm saying it today, I was actually texting those messages as they were being made play, saying, I don't like this move. I think this is a panic move and an emotional move versus a move based on what the market was. And that is something you'll find. And we all make mistakes like that. Okay. In trading, obviously an emotional business, And we will always find the time to make mistakes when they happen. And, you know, again, in the World Series, obviously, there is no more games. And in this particular World Series, it was Game 7. So you have to say, hey, Chicago, what do you say? And what I'm actually, what we're saying is that he didn't follow the game plan. He didn't follow the game plan that got him there. And when you're trading, when you're investing, you have to continue to follow the plan. You can make adjustments to your plan, but you can't change the basics of what was successful the entire time. And of course, why would you change things that are successful unless you actually got a little bit too emotional and let the big moment get in your way? And again, it almost cost them, you know, a lot of money, basically, in the theories that they let the moment get away. And this is what's so important about the footprint that we often talk about here on the Bubba Show is, you know, you have to stay with the market footprint. You have to allow the market footprint to dictate where we're going to go, because if you try to predict the outcome ahead of time and without a basis, then you end up usually in trouble. And of course, that was exactly what happened in the Cubs game. Is when he pulled Hendricks, which there was no reason to pull Hendricks. The guy was pitching great, okay, and brought in Lester. And, of course, it was a very, very scary sight to watch. But at the end, they did win. But this would be a trade that I'd go back on and say, you know, I did make a lot of mistakes on this trade. I got lucky and still was able to win. But I didn't win in the way that I planned. I didn't win in the way that I had set myself up to be successful. I actually put myself in a position to almost lose. And that is really the same position that you take in trading and investing. You have to set yourself up in the best position to win and allow that to give you the best opportunity to win. And if you do all of that, then now you are certainly in a position. Again, you won't always win. I mean, he could have done everything perfectly and still not won the game. We can make the perfect trade and still not necessarily win on the trade. But if we repeat the process over and over again and have a plan, then we know the guide of what we're following. And again, I always warn, you know, investors and traders that you stick to the plan that works. Nothing works every single time. But if you stick to that plan and you follow that plan and you keep the footprints rolling, you will then find out that more often than not, you will be successful. And success will come to those who can't allow the market footprint to play out. And as we're seeing now, the footprint is starting to show us a reverse in direction. And now we're looking to follow the footprint the other way into the markets. But very exciting. Chicago Cubs, 2016 World Champs. Always great. And of course, the Bubba Show listeners, 2016 World Champs. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. If you miss one of my shows, how dare you? Go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge. And I assure you that the Sporting Edge will be tremendous this weekend. But in the meantime, make sure that you're taking care of your portfolio. Make sure you're hedging yourself. Make sure you're checking out BubbaTrading.com and putting yourself in the best position to win that world championship for yourself. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. I am going to step out of here for a break after I have a little champagne, and I'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, will be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, world champion Chicago Cubs. But yesterday, before that great victory from my Cubbies, I had a chance to visit with Mark Oppelt on rural radio. XM 147 and talk a little bit about the grain markets and the cattle markets and the outside markets. So let me share that interview with you. He's actually interviewing me, getting my feel for these markets. Let's get to Rural Rally Radio right now. Here we go.
It's Bubba Trading, BubbaTrading.com, to sort this all out for us here. Todd, we're just ending up there. A lot of pressure in these financial markets here and around the world overnight. Is that with the Fed and the election, or is there more than that?
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning to you. Yeah, exactly.
That's all right. That's all right. You know, it's a combination of a lot of things. You have the election, and it's not who wins. It's the uncertainty now, and obviously the polls are, you know, probably a dead even, a dead heat. So it makes for a little uncertainty on Wall Street, and you tie into the fact that the Fed is going to speak today at 2 o'clock Eastern time with their rate decision. Now, there is no expectation of a rate increase today. However, they may indicate and that they're going to go ahead and increase in December again. So that's creating a little bit of a stir. Just the overall uncertainty around the globe. And tomorrow you've got the Bank of Japan and the Bank of England speaking. And then you've got the jobs on Friday. So all those things, plus the fact that, you know, when's the last time we had a good manufacturing report in this country? It's been quite a while. So there's a lot of things shaking into a market that's extremely overvalued. And that's really what we're seeing. You're seeing oil fall. Now, when was the last time you think you'd see oil falling into a pipeline that just popped and they're going to have a trouble supplying? Of course, we know that's not the case, but that's the story that's being told. So there's a lot of outside factors here that are pushing things around. But I think you're going to see gold will probably turn around, especially if they're going to have an announcement on higher rates. I think the dollar will gain strength again, as I believe that the farmers and producers have really already priced in that higher dollar. So I think that works out well. And it, you know, the pressure carries everywhere. And, you know, we saw a little pressure in the grain yesterday, a little bit at the close. And I think that will probably continue. I think that, you know, if we look at, you know, corn, 345 is a key level in December corn. I think that, you know, the 405, 408 level in wheat, and I think soybeans are going to continue to churn that range. It's 16 weeks in a row that we've been in that 60 to 70 cent range up and down. And I think now we're headed back to that like 960, 950 level in the bean markets.
Yeah. Is that January? You moved to January now in beans. By any number you might quote, you're looking at December corn and January beans. Is that right?
That's correct. What I always try to look at is what we call on the floor is top step or the active contract. And as they start to roll, I'll move with them. You know, for example, when we talk about feeders are still active in November, but the top step is January. So I'll try to clarify it. But yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. Yeah.
Very good. So now the Fed, going back to that whole discussion, no surprise that they have indicated that they're going to do that. If they're going to do that, I mean, some will say, well, why don't they go ahead and do it now and just do it rather than kind of hang that carrot, or if you want to call it that, over this market?
Well, you know, the problem is the Fed is very confused. They've really created a bubble situation in the equity markets, and they're really not quite sure, so they don't want to commit too soon to what they may or may not do. This is the biggest problem, Mark, that we're experiencing now with the Federal Reserve is they're really confused, they're really lost, and they really lack the common sense of what needs to happen in markets. So they try to float out these test balloons by saying, we may do this, we may do that, and they want to kind of see how the market reacts. And so far, the market has not reacted very well to what they're doing. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of mergers and acquisitions, which means that their cheap money policy is really not helping the little guy. And I think that's where we're going to start to see the problem, you know, come forward. But they do not like to step out and make a decision. They're really trying to get a test to see what's going to happen, which is obviously incorrect. I mean, you know, unfortunately, we in regular business can't test and see what's going to happen if we do X. We have to make our decisions, and that is one of the problems we are seeing right now.
Yeah, a little long in this first segment, but I want to, before we close out this whole discussion here, listeners, producers may say, we sure don't want interest rates to go higher, Todd, but you have suggested that banks are so tight that they're not loaning like they normally would. They're calling some loans due. They did a month ago here with this cattle market, and their margins are so thin that a little bit of an interest rate might ease money flow.
Interest rates could be, a rise in interest rates would be the best thing for America. Believe me, it's at these rates, it's silly, it's ridiculous, it's costing us in the long term, it's costing people the ability to borrow money, it's the banks are not making any money, and your insurance companies, they need higher interest rates to make that money there as well. Low interest rates do nobody any good except for the extremely wealthy who can benefit from them. I think that you'll see a much better economy, better for the small business who can then borrow money from the banks without the pressure every single minute on their head of the banks waiting for them to pay it back, because the banks right now are not making enough on what we call the spread. The spread is the lending rate to what they're going to, the borrowing rate they borrow from to what they lend out at. It's not wide enough, so they're going to stay away from providing liquidity to the small guy.
Yeah, they're borrowing money too. All right, Todd Horowitz here, not done yet. We'll take a break. We're going to come back and talk more. He has a free webinar. Is Thursday or is that tomorrow?
Thursday is tomorrow.
Tomorrow is Thursday, yeah. Okay, talk about that and the grain and livestock trade more in detail. Todd Horowitz coming back right after this. To Commodity Wrap, it's a Wednesday, All Souls Day, by the way, November 2nd here, and Game 7 of the World Series. Todd Horowitz there in Chicago. I hope you batten down the hatches here and stay off the streets tonight. It's going to be wild.
It's going to be wild when the Cubs win the World Series. It's going to be very wild.
Hey, we went to break talking about your free webinar. I really appreciate you being on our team, and you're on Market Day Report during the day and here on Commodity Wrap here on a regular basis. And just let the folks know that you're all about helping them, or any listener, put together a marketing plan. You have a free webinar. Talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow night at 5 Central Time, I'm going to go through what I call it the plan. And, you know, we want to look at why markets do what they do and then how to account and make your plan according to what our expectations are. But in the meantime, able to protect yourself either from downward movement if you own something, or, for example, we're getting in crude, we're going to want to maybe look to start protecting that from the upside and lock in some of our costs here. So it's a real general trying to help everybody have a better understanding of market functions and what makes them tick.
Good. And they can learn more by going to BubbaTrading.com to learn about that free webinar, right?
That is 100% correct. They can always there and read what I have to write and hear what I have to say. And we're always trying to help. We want to make it better for everybody.
Well, Dan, thanks for the minutes you give us here on a weekly basis here. All right. Real quick, kind of a broad brush look here with a couple of minutes left with you. Looking at that grain trade, once again, more specific numbers in corn, soybeans, and wheat that you are watching, not only today, but maybe by the end of the week.
Well, I like the grain space, as I like to call it. I like the space, but I think that we are a little bit over. We got a little bit too fast, and I think you got to watch for in December corn 345. I think in December wheat, you know, probably 405 to 408. Soybeans will continue, in my opinion, to churn between that, you know, 960 and 1020 in January right now. And I think, again, you want to look to be a spot to be a buyer on a pullback. We don't want to chase them up because we've seen they're now building these resistance levels, but they've been acting tremendously forward. The charts look really good and solid, and I think we're going to see higher prices as we go through and coming into the first quarter next year. And I think in the livestock markets, I think cattle, both fats and feeders, are probably at good levels to sell. And wait for them to pull back a little bit. I think that I like them overall. I think they're going to go higher, but I think now you need a pretty good pullback. I think the fat cattle, you're probably looking at 102 to 103. The January feeders, probably looking at about 117 or so. And hogs, I think you've had a beautiful run. I think if you look back for a pullback back down to probably 44 or 43 and then look for to go higher, but they're going to come off the board. So we'll have to start probably looking at February next week going out.
And with that, we say thanks for all the time today. It's BubbaTrading.com, free webinar tomorrow, 5 p.m. Central Time. Check it out. And Todd Horowitz will be with us on our Market Day Report as we continue through this day. Todd, have a great day. We'll talk to you a little bit later.
Thanks, Mark. I'll see you at lunch.
He got it.
And that was me with Mark Alpert on Rural Radio. And again, you're getting my views of the markets working. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. I'm going to step out of here for break, and we'll be right back and talk about the Federal Reserve. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're coming right back.
The moon, let me play among
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends, the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and world champion Chicago Cubs. But in the meantime, a group that is not world champions, in fact, we would call these the busters, the losers. The Federal Reserve yesterday once again had their FOMC meeting, and of course, once again, they didn't do jack. I'm surprised, you know, maybe they're not really even alive. Maybe they're Norman Bates's mom, and they're in that rocking chair in the room dead, you know, where we just keep replaying the same meeting over and over again, because certainly that's what I see, is I see a repeat every single meeting, the same horse crap, the same stupid things. We're focusing on our growth and our objectives, inflation. It's like a fairy tale, the three blind mice. I mean, this is an embarrassment to have to listen to this Federal Reserve that has absolutely no clue as to what is going on in the world around them. They have absolutely no clue of how to run an economy, and yet they are the most powerful people in the world, and we continue to listen to them. Now, how stupid are we? Okay, you listen to this garbage that spews from their mouths every single time they come out, and when you think about it, what have they actually done? I mean, should we go through their history? Well, we don't have to go that far back, but let's just go back, 7 or 8 years, okay, to Ben Bernanke, who in 2008 was sweating, breaking out all over the place. We're going to fail the banking system. You know what? The banking system should have failed. We should have let it go. It's to me, all we did is set up for the next collapse to be even greater than the last. This management of the entire financial fiasco has created a chain of events around the globe that has basically totally destroyed middle-class people. It has totally brought the separation of the classes. We have seen person after person lose their job. The people that are working not making enough money. And yet, here they sit in the Golden Palace, okay, making decisions, monetary decisions, on what should happen next when the most efficient way to run a market, the most efficient way to run the model is to let the markets do their own thing, is to let the individual that is involved in the market go through a straight price discovery model. Now, why are we able to deal with a price discovery model in our entire lives until it gets to the government and the Federal Reserve and the mainstream? Okay. Now, if you think about this, you're a kid, you've learned price discovery because it's the money you have versus what you want to buy. Do you have it? Can you make a deal? You go to school, you trade, you know, a sandwich for a dessert, whatever. Okay. You get your first job. Okay. It's a price discovery model. Okay. Either you like the job and the money they're going to pay you, or you don't. Okay. You negotiate with the boss if you can. You know, obviously in a major corporation, they have standard fees, but if you're getting your first job and you're negotiating for salary, that's also price discovery. You go out and you buy your first car, and whether you buy it used from an individual party, you buy it used from a dealership, you buy it brand new, you negotiate for price and you establish value. Okay. You then get the house. And now the house, you buy a house and now you have a family, you need another house. So you sell one, which creates a price discovery model. And then you buy one, which is another price discovery. And yet the Fed does not believe that we are capable of creating the proper class and the proper prices of assets. So tell me why. Where did something change from the time you are born, okay, to the time that we become part of the workforce? When did we become stupid and not have the ability to establish the correct price? When did we not no longer understand what value was? When did I need somebody to tell me what the value should be? That's what I don't understand, okay? I'm perfectly capable every single day of my life of making price discovery and being in a free market system. I mean, if I need gas and one gas station is $2.50 and the other is $2.40, well, I'm going to go to the guy that's $2.40. Okay. If I'm buying a house, I'm going to make my bid. If they don't want to take it, then, you know, I'll either negotiate or I'll walk away. But for some reason, the three blind mice, or actually should be the 12 blind mice, but the blind, the incompetent, the clueless, the ignorant, don't think that we're capable of making those decisions. Now, you know, we all are in business here. We work or we own our own business. You set the stage of what you need to sell your product for or that. If you're in farming, you know, there's a board that gives you the cash basis, but there's ways to protect against that and protect yourself. But the Federal Reserve doesn't think that we're capable of doing that by ourselves. And I want to know, when did we become, what age do we become dumb? When does it no longer count of what we think as to what an asset price is worth? In the meantime, with their bullshit creating inflation, okay, all they're doing is taxing you and me, okay? Again, you listen, if you ever read the Creature from Jekyll Island, okay, and I'm not saying it's that far out there, but inflation is a hidden tax. Because why else do assets have to inflate, okay? They inflate to create the ability to tax more money. It's not, again, if I'm using a regular system and I'm trading something for something, okay, I have something of value. In our case, we use dollars, okay, versus what your price you're selling, and we establish a price based on that. But if I were using rocks, okay, what would be the value of those rocks compared to the house? Again, to me, it is probably one of the most frustrating periods in my life of 60 years. It's one of the most ridiculous things to watch that the people that have control over my money and my life, your money and your life, have absolutely no idea of where they are and what to do. And yet, they get more power than basically the president of the United States. Think about that, okay? The Federal Reserve, though the one that controls the money, controls the world, okay? That's where it comes down to. And here we are allowing this process of creating more money out of thin air. We let the banks create more money out of thin air by giving them the right to lend out nine times what they're taking in, when I will bet you that they don't have enough in reserve. I would say that if anybody would ever do the right thing and audit all of these banks, that not that stupid crap stress test that they tell you that they're doing, that's the biggest bunch of crap ever. Okay. But if they would actually audit the whole system, okay, I would venture to say that banks do not have enough in reserve. I would venture to say that there is so many issues that aren't spoken, that obviously if we let the system work itself, we wouldn't have these problems, okay? And you let these bankers around the world create out of thin air money. I mean, really, is a new car that now, today you pay $100,000 for, that 20 years ago you paid $10,000 for, okay, the same car, and the one 20 years ago was probably better, built better. But that's why we have no jobs. This is why we have no business. Okay, this is why we're struggling, because the three blind mice continue to try to kick the can down the road instead of letting the markets work itself. Because the markets are the markets. They're efficient. They give you a true guide as to what's happening next. Quite frankly, I'm sick of it, and I can't stand it. And I can't wait until we can get rid of them. Of course, that will take a lot to do. But in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, the Bitch Hour. You miss the show, go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge, so you can hear more about my world champion Chicago Cubs. In the meantime, also check out bubbatrading.com. Again, we can get around some of the things that the Fed is doing. Check it out to see. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out of here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming back after the break.
Song was written by Fred Abbott.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Come alive, come alive. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, we've had a lot of news this week. We've had the ADP jobs. We've had the idiots from the Federal Reserve. And so far, they've done nothing. And, of course, tomorrow, we've got the jobs number. And will it be accurate? Will it be more BS and garbage delivered to you courtesy of the United States government, President Obama, okay, who's out there campaigning? I would think he would be working, but he's too busy trying to get the criminal elected to the office of president, somebody who he hated. Okay. And just a quick question. Hillary was the first to call Obama a non-citizen in 08 when they ran. Where did it become that now it's all Trump who's done that? I just curious. In the meantime, we've got, again, jobs number tomorrow. What does it mean? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think is going on here. I always question the numbers. In fact, yesterday on BNN, I questioned the GDP number, and I made the comment that I would bet anybody any amount of money that that number gets revised lower at the next report. Okay, but my point here is very simple. Okay, the markets themselves have now broken down a little bit. Okay, they have finally broken out to the downside of consolidation. Now, again, it does not mean we're going to go straight down and get crippled here. I do believe we're going to see a bear market. I do believe we're going to see markets drastically lower over the next, you know, year probably. But what I think is important to understand here is how to trade this model and what you should be looking for. And here's what you should be looking for. Okay, if I'm correct, and again, there's no 100% guarantee, but we're going to get a rally. Again, we're not going straight down. This is the one thing that hurts most investors and most traders. The markets will not go straight down. There's going to be a big rally in here somewhere. Okay, whether it be tomorrow, whether it be next week, there's going to be a big rally. And we're going to rally probably back to the bottom end of that consolidation pattern, which was 2120 in the S&P. Now, 2120 will most likely be a terrific selling opportunity, and where we will want to go ahead and sell that as a trade, assuming that it will fail, okay? And that will confirm the potential downtrend I think we're going to start going into. And now you want to look from before when you were trading and investing, you were looking for dips to buy, not me the dip, but dips to buy. Now what you're looking for is rallies to sell into. You're not looking to be overly aggressive. You're not trying to nail it, okay? What you're doing is you're going to let the market footprint show you where the opportunity is arising. Bad moon rising, but you're going to be able to see the market footprint. You know, if you've been watching and you're in the industry of the, you know, agricultural, you've seen the calls that I've been able to make. And I'm not always right. Again, I'm not always right, but the footprint is always correct. Now, whether or not it follows through, that's always the thing. But we talked about a number of different products in the agricultural space saying what we thought should happen. And pretty much it happens. Not exactly perfect, but that's exactly what we're looking for. We talked about the equity space, you know, certain stocks, okay? And, you know, we thought that, you know, Facebook was a little bit extended. And sure enough, the earnings, it's getting clobbered. It's down, you know, almost 10%. Okay, we talked about Apple, you know, a little bit overpriced, getting clobbered. We talked about underpriced. But so, again, it's about trying to follow the map that's laid out for you. The markets leave a solid footprint. And, again, the footprint is not 100%. But the understanding the idea and the gyration and the direction in which you're heading is the importance, okay? And when you see markets start to sit and consolidate and then break one way or the other, you know kind of what's going on, that maybe we're breaking the trend. Now, if you take a look at gold, yesterday I made a call on Kitco, on BNN, and a couple of other places that gold was probably a pretty good sale at like 1310, because the rally looked to be a little bit oversoused on short covering, okay? It looked like they had tried to anticipate into the Fed, and I think they, as typically happens in markets, they overshot their mark. And so that big rally now failed. Now gold is $20 from that high of where I set to short it. And again, I'm not patting myself on the back. What I'm saying is that was a footprint that was identifiable in the market. And when you can identify the footprint, what it really does is it gives you the idea and the best spot saying, okay, I see the footprint. So this gives me the highest probability to make the correct trade versus just guessing where I'm at. Does that make sense? Okay, so again, even when we have the footprint, it doesn't guarantee a success, but it makes, when we do fail, it makes the failure smaller and easier to deal with, and it gives you a better, more probabilistic or higher probability model that allows you to give yourself an edge in the trading world. So when you start to see, you know, either a panic to the downside, you know that you're probably getting ready to be a buyer somewhere. When you see a greedy move to the upside that is, you know, just obviously going straight up, that's usually you're looking for an opportunity to sell. And again, these are the things you learn as traders, okay, is to understand what the expectations of the market are. And what is the expectations driven by? They are driven by money, okay? So as the money and the order flow change, you're looking for the better chance to give yourself, the, as we say, the leg up, okay, on making your moves and making yourselves better, okay? And giving yourself the best probability to be successful. And that's how you can, you know, not predict markets, but try to predict the footprint, because what's happening is a pattern is being formed through those footprints that tell you the probability of what the next move will be. And you, if you go back and look, and you can look over this last 3 months, you can see that the probability of this happening was greater, and it got greater as days came by, because not only were we in that consolidation pattern between 2120 and 2190, but we were also in a market that was starting to work lower, and with inside that consolidation, we saw markets making lower highs and lower lows while holding the bottom, making a descending triangle basic inside of that, indicating that a breakdown was inevitable. And of course, we've gotten that part of it. And again, it's not disastrous. We're not like, oh my God. But again, now we're looking to see if we're going to go out from here and now into what we would call a new trend. And that new trend would be to the downside if this is going to confirm. And if it's not going to confirm, it will simply just be a false breakout to the downside and we'll go back in. But in the meantime, you have the jobs tomorrow that could bring a solid footprint, and hopefully it'll bring us enough to run up to, you know, around the 2120 level and give us an opportunity to sell them and create some opportunity for us. And, you know, whether you're hedged or whether you're looking for something to buy or something to sell, it should give us a much better opportunity, because after all, the Bubba Show is all about opportunity. Okay. And that's what we try to do. We try to create the best shot for you. And again, a shout out to my cubbies. Champagne is flowing. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. When you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm and download it, as well as the Sporting Edge. You go to bubbatrading.com and check out what we're doing, because again, I'm out here to help and try to help you be better. And my programs are extremely reasonable anyways. In the meantime, that'll do it for today. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody have a great day, and go Cubs, go. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.